So Don Imus is, you know, a radio icon, a radio legend, and any other word that I could come up with that will make him sound really old. And been a hero of mine since I was a very, very, very little child. And having him as a, and I use this in air quotes, friend, has been really remarkable because not only can he give a punch, he can take a hard punch. With all of that being said, Don and I will exchange emails from time to time, and there's rarely a nice word said in either direction. I'm very concerned about Don because I asked him to be on the show yesterday, and he was his typical nasty self. And then he said, how can my wife hear it? I'm sorry, I don't know. And there was an apology. And I thought, wow, that's maybe that's a secretary kind of writing for him. Then just a few minutes ago, I get a picture of his new puppy dog that he got yesterday. And I thought to myself, his death must be imminent. He must be minutes away from death if he is sending me a picture. If I would have ever sent him a picture of my new puppy dog minutes before we went on the air, I can guarantee you I would have been beaten in the face for an hour. So we're going to check if he's okay. And if he is okay, we're going to beat him in the face for about an hour. Don Imus begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
As if it is Don Imus, let's say hello to Don Imus.
Let us all pray together in the name of Jesus. Friends, we are gathered here this morning to bear witness to a conversation between one of the great figures in the history of broadcasting and an unwashed member of the heathen flock, Glenn Beck. Dear God, please allow these men to avoid the language of hatred, the language of ridicule, the language of vicious mockery. Lord God, the language of sin. But can I get an amen?
Amen.
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 All right. So
how are you, Mr. Beck?
I'm very good, Don, and I want to make sure that you understand that I may be avoiding the language of mockery, but I encourage you to engage in the language of mockery. It's what you do.
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right.
Well, how are you?
I'm okay until I got the picture of your cute little puppy dog.
Oh, what about my dog? My dog will kick your dog's ass. How about that?
Your dog has two. Your dog is the typical Don Imus dog. It's got one brown eye, one blue eye. It looks crazy as hell. And
let me tell you what my dog will do. My dog will bite your dick off. How about that?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, Don.
Sarah,
right.
Please.
I don't know if we've edited that now. This is a live program, and we might have
people there helping you talk. The little layman chorus. Those fat people who want to be Glenn Beck. So, well, I'm going to hang out with Glenn in the studio with him, and maybe someday I'll get to fill in for him. Is that what you have there, like I do?
We're definitely fat, but we don't want to be Glenn Beck, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. Don, I may have to retract some of the urging for you to be Don Imus. I had forgotten what Don Imus really was like. All right. So, Don.
Yeah.
Does anybody really like you? Sincerely. This is not the question that I had planned for you, but is there anyone who truly likes you? Because I don't think your wife even likes you. She's surprised that you've lived this long. She told you not to take any of the medicine for cancer. She gave you a diet that she just made up, hoping that you would die before you burned through all the cash.
You know, they say my son Wyatt Imus, who goes to Rice University and big rodeo star here in Texas. He and my wife say, and I honestly say all the time, he'll say, "Dad, that's why you don't have any friends, because you're a prick." So, no, I don't. Well, I mean, I guess there's some people
all right
who like me, but you know, you like me actually.
Not actually, not that much.
Well,
but,
we don't hang out together because you know.
Right.
I don't like to go to places where you have to wear a sweater that was given to you by Ellen DeGeneres. But I still love when you're on Fox, you know, and you get there at the blackboard, you have your knitted sweater on, those crazy eyes, and you're darting all over the room. And I mean, that was the greatest television ever. I'm going to tell you that now.
You know, I tell you, Don, our emails between each other started back in those days. And strangely, I enjoyed all of them while you were telling me things just like that. And I know that you did watch the show every day.
Great. Come on, man.
Yeah, and you watched it for a different reason. You watched it because... Yeah. You really thought I was crazy as hell.
Oh, I still do. I think you're one of me, not to patronize you, you're one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, ever talked to. But I really do think, I mean, all that crying and going on, and then one day you're this, the next day you're that, and then you're apologizing for this. I mean, no, you're clinically insane. That's a horrible thing. It doesn't make you a bad person. You're not a bad person. But I'm going to tell you something, you're crazy. I mean, you know you're crazy. Come on, you know me. Come on.
Amen.
So Don, let's talk a little bit about what's happening with Joe and Mika and the president. What's your take?
I might be the wrong person to ask about making fun of a woman's appearance.
It's a pretty good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
You know, he's a little punk-ass bitch.
Okay.
But he really is. He's a coward and he's a punk. He really is. And I work with him now. Well, I mean, I don't know much about her. She seems fine.
Can I just hold on? Just hold on for just a second. I need time for the delay.
What's the matter with what delay? What are you on?
I've had to edit you now live about three times.
Really? Oh, no, he's a punk, Joe Scarborough.
Yes. All right. You could say that.
Now, someone I don't believe, I believe she could have said about anything to me, and I wouldn't have responded, and I don't think he should have either. And I like him. I voted for him. I'd vote for him again. But I think, excuse me.
Oh, my gosh, this is the moment.
I thought he'd be a lot better president than he's been so far. I thought. So, you know, but here's the thing. That boy's had a bunch of surgery himself, you know. And that hair of him, I mean, could you imagine what he looks like in a morning cup? He probably sleeps in one of them big old blousy white T-shirts, and he sweats at night. And he gets up in the morning, got them big old blubber titties and hair, you know. Hair hanging down the side of his head. I mean,
we're all out of time, aren't we?
He's a grotesque figure. Who is he kidding? He can't be talking. I mean, not me.
We're all out of time.
All right.
He's that's what I think about.
This is the funniest 20 minutes I've ever done on radio, and I have had nothing to do with it. So Don, where does the country go from here? How do we stop this nonsense?
Well, I hate it when I interview people and say, "Oh, that's a great question, Don." Well, I said, "Well, if it's such a great question, why don't you give me a great answer?" But I don't have one. And for the first time that I can remember, and all I can remember pretty much to back to Wednesday, but I don't know. I mean, it's all up to him. He's not a dumb guy, and he doesn't have a real education, but he's got great instincts. He's got some pretty good ideas. He's willing to, for the most part, surround himself with some smart people. But I just don't understand getting sidetracked, and he knows what the media is going to do. We already know they're all against him. I mean, come on. And so he keeps shooting himself in the foot. And I don't, see, to answer your question, where does the country go, man? I don't know. He's got to get himself together. He's not going to be there because they'll get rid of him. They'll figure out a way because there's a bunch of people that really run the country anyway, and it's not him. And they'll figure out a way to get rid of him. So I hope they don't. And I really do think he could be a terrific president. But there's some psychosis of his that won't allow him to just do what he's got to do, suck it up, just discipline to run the country.
You've known him for a long time. I mean, at one point you were on the air in New York, and so he would.
I'm still on the air in New York,
right? Oh, are you really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, I'm only 3 hours and 20 minutes away from you. 202 miles from your studio.
Yeah,
I would come there and stab you in the neck.
So I do have to. May I? Well, I'm not going to ask your permission. I'm just going to do it anyway.
Of course.
I got an email from Don, and I just want to see if I can read. Let's see. There's a little picture of your puppy dog.
My dog's name is Ed, by the way.
Your what?
Ed is my dog's name.
Oh my gosh, we care so much.
Dang, you man, no, you can laugh now. I bring my dog to your house. Not leaving. You ain't got a dick. What are you going to do then?
You got to stop, man. Okay. So here's the disclaimer. You know how everybody.
I don't think anymore anyway.
Here's the disclaimer.
Your wife, damn it, Faye. Come on, girl. Stop sending me them in text.
All right. So here's the disclaimer.
Yeah.
It's at the bottom of Don's emails. Disclaimer. This email and any files transmitted with it are confidential and proprietary information. It is information intended solely for the use of the designated recipient. If you are not the designated recipient and you have read the contents of this email, you are aware that Mr. Imus's friend, Suge Knight, will eventually get out of prison. You know the first place he's going to go.
You're doing a great job reading that. Any last thoughts coming up? Jesus God, come on, man.
You know the first place he's going to go? Your house.
That's
so
right.
Immediately notify the sender of this receipt of this email and delete it from any and all devices you've received it on. This is not an effing joke. Do not use, disclose, distribute, copy, or show to your stupid friends to prove you know me. Don't print the contents of this email and any files transmitted with it. Finally, destroy all devices in which you receive this transmission. That may sound crazy, will obviously prove expensive, but not anywhere near as expensive as the attorney you're going to have to hire if you don't. Now, Don, I just want you to know, I thought that was so funny, I emailed that to all my friends.
I change it all the time, you know.
Oh, I've never read it before, so I thought that was something.
Well, you did a fine job reading it, too, Glenn.
Yeah. Don, I remember now why we don't have you on the air very often, and it's been great to talk to you, Don.
I've never been on the air with you, isn't it?
No, this is the second, but thanks for remembering. And actually, the first time we ever met, do you know? It was in 1983 or 1984. You were still at NBC. And I was there with a friend of mine, and they were doing the overnights at NBC. And I was just a kid, maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9. And you walked in, and you kicked the door open and stood there like a doorstop. And you looked at me and the other guy, and you said, "Get your stuff and get the F out."
I don't believe I did that.
Yeah, you did. Right. Yeah, you did. And it was a moving, touching moment. And
what was the old night guy's name?
What?
What was your friend's name, Glenn?
It was Lee Chambers.
Well, I remember Lee. I like Lee.
Yeah, well, you didn't like Lee that day, or maybe it was just me, but it was
these apocryphal stories of me are not true. I was still drinking and doing drugs. No, was I doing drugs? I stopped doing cocaine on June 1st, 1983.
Yeah, so you probably.
If it was 483, I could have been coked up. So
yeah, you were probably coked up, or you know, after you stopped coke, you did heroin for a while. So
no, I didn't.
Might have been the heroin.
I drank a lot of vodka, man.
All right, Don.
Rehab, you know.
All right, Don. Time to go. Time to go to bed. It's almost time for your dinner.
My name is Don.
All right. I gotta go. I gotta read a live spot, and I'll do it expertly. Thank you very much, Don Imus, host of Imus in the Morning. That's heard on some station. In some city, and we appreciate it, Don.
Say hallelujah, baby. Say hallelujah. Love you.
Hallelujah, man. Thank you very much, Don.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Wow.
Just sending a, let me just tell you others wrote, Don, this email serves as notice that you have been added to my official pursuer list, and your little dog, too, Glenn.
There's a reason that guy's a legend, man.
That is what I don't even know how much of that went on the air.
Very little. It was about 30 seconds long to most of the audience.
Yeah. That is one of the funniest segments. I don't think we've ever had a funnier segment than that. He is just a riot. Just a riot. And one of the smartest men, and so well read, and truly, truly kind on the inside. On the outside, mean as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was a time when he was mean as hell too, on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's changed.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, he was no he
he's
was,
changed
he
since
was,
1983.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we all have. If you haven't, you're
Oh, I went the other way.
You're the president.
I used to be nice, and now I'm a lot meaner than I was.
That is true.
That is
you
very
used
true.
To be nice, and uh-huh. you are uh-huh. really
uh-huh.
you're great because it's years and years of pain.
Yes,
and
years of BS, and so you know between those two things, I've been beaten down.
Yeah,
and now I'm just plain mean.
You are the guy that you know. Just you're Walter Matthau, and you're the guy who comes out and screams, "Get the hell off my lawn!" And it's great.
By the way,
with
Joe Scarborough being in the news today, can we give Don Imus credit for an old prediction of his? As Joe Scarborough had a radio show on WABC.
Oh yeah, and Don was not a fan of that.
No, and it went into
neither was anybody else.
Supposedly hiatus.
Well, yeah, they had to figure out how to do the third hour.
Yeah, he used that. Yep,
they're still meeting on that today.
Yeah,
right.
Because they said they had a two-hour show. We had to figure out how to do a third hour, so they just took the show off the air. That was legitimately
right.
their excuse.
He also said he was looking for a more competitive time
yes.
slot.
That was a separate yes. other failure yeah. of his radio
right.
show that he said he needed to be more competitive. But Imus said at the time, and he was on the station with him, his radio show is canceled. They're not revamping anything. He will never be on WABC in New York again, ever. 100%
it
correct.
It was true.
Yes.
Exactly
day.
Right.
Until they can figure out how to do the third hour. Then they will be back on.
Technically we can find a way to get more, delay in the show so we can delete more of the words, he's got to come back.
Yes.
He is just absolutely hysterical and, as Stu said, a legend for a reason.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Holy cow, it's going to take me days to recover from Don Imus being on the program. I don't know how much of that was edited, because it was edited at the we have something called a dump button, and it's a 7-second delay, and so I don't know. Sarah, did you dump things out of that?
Oh, several times.
Really?
A lot of people are reacting because they were listening. Depending on where you were listening, if you're on the stream or you're on TV, you got all of that. And you're welcome.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. We have to post the raw in case you, because of the FCC, we couldn't, we had to dump. And honestly, because of our tender sensibilities as well, but hysterical, absolutely hysterical. it's sad that he's going to be dead probably very, very soon.
That was a good last interview, though. I mean, if you're going to
really was
gonna have one.
Really was. And when he started to cough.
That, yeah, I mean, I was worried about him when he started to cough. I thought that
no,
was
no, when he started to cough,
truly
I was actually,
the moment right there.
I actually had a moment where I, sincerely, I had a moment when he started to cough where I'm thinking, good Lord, let him die right now. It'll be huge news. And then I realized we're going into a 5-day weekend, so it'll be buried. Come back on a Tuesday, Don, so people can chew on it all week.
You have said before, I think you said it last week, earlier this week maybe, that someday you're going to release a book of all of your emails back and forth. It would be tremendous. The ones you've let us see are
I would love to.
So funny and so mean.
Yeah. I have to get Don's permission or wait until he dies. So either way, by Wednesday,
we'll
I can
long.
Make a decision. the email exchanges, and the nice thing about Don, and I love this, Don, he swings a hard punch. But he doesn't really mean it. You know what I mean? He, you know, his dog is not going to come and do those things to me, I think. and so he doesn't mean it. And he only punches when he really is either really, truly disgusted by somebody or he likes them.
Yes.
And, you know, when I first went on with him.
And you can tell the difference. You know he's truly disgusted by Joe Scarborough. He genuinely likes you.
Yeah. And so when I went on his show the first time, I rolled the dice thinking that Don was a lot like me. I love it when people make fun of me to my face and they hit me, you know, just as hard as they possibly can. I love it. I think it's hysterical. So I rolled the dice that Don liked that. And I don't remember what it was, but, I came out swinging, and he laughed so hard, and I was on his show, his TV show, for about 20 minutes that nobody watched, and, I wanted to add some actual facts in here, and he just loved it, and we started writing to each other, and his emails are so hysterical, and there's not a kind thing said between us, and that's really why it disturbed me so much that he sent me a picture of his little puppy dog, because honestly, that's a sign of death is imminent. He's thinking about little puppy dogs and the man he could have been, just before he dies, he hits send. Look at this cute little puppy dog. There's not a kind word said between us, and yet we adore each other. And I have saved all of the emails just because there's no email like a Don Imus email. There's just none. Like the exchange that I think I said this on the air a couple of weeks ago, we wrote back and forth, and I hadn't talked to him in a while. I'll get just an email from him, and he'll catch the show, and he'll say, have another piece of cake. And that's all he'll say. I actually wrote to his address last week, and I said, in the subject line, it was sorry to hear the news. And I said, Deirdre, it's sorry to hear the news about Don's death. Just wanted to know if now that the ball and chain is dead, and you've got some cash laying around, if you wanted to get together. And
to his address.
And he wrote back as her, and he said, it's so nice to hear from you. His death wasn't a surprise to us. He had been complaining about having a hard time to breathe. But it might have been the pillow I was holding over his face.
So funny.
She said, I'd love to get together with you, but that stick of a wife, what was her name? Bambi. Is she still around? And it only went really downhill from there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that whole team, I mean, Charles McCord, Bernie, I mean, Mike Breen, who is now one of the biggest, you know, play-by-play guys in the NBA. He's, you know, God only knows how much money he makes. The stuff they used to do on that show with his sports reports is some of the funniest stuff in the history of the medium.
It's funny, too, after what we just heard, his second radio station, his first real job in radio, he got fired for saying the word hell on the air. Put that in context. From 1968 to today.
Well, that happened to you, listen, too, didn't it, Gunn? I mean, listen, Washington, D.C.,
I think. I was in Washington, D.C. It was 1982, and I think I said the word crap, or it was something like that. And I got a full-page memo saying, I don't know who you think you are or where you are, but this is Washington, D.C., the home of the nation's capital and the FCC. And we don't use language like that on the air. I was like,
wow.
And I remember feeling like, oh, man, I've really gone over the line here. I shouldn't have said crap. And almost everything Don just said that we had to edit out for air is said all the time in conversation. And most shows will let it air. There was only one word, I think, that he said that legally can't be said on the air, but we edit just for sensibilities. But you hear this stuff from radio shows everywhere, but we just like to have a little higher standard of language, which, you know, is maybe why we're number three and not number one. But it's amazing how much radio has truly changed, and especially this way. Don Imus is truly one of the smart. He is Penn Jillette smart. Penn is one of the most well-read people I've ever met and thinks about absolutely everything and has done his homework. Don is the same way. He's probably the smartest guy probably ever on radio, especially any kind of entertainment radio. He can hold his own in almost every single subject. And he was a pioneer of things like, you know, candid phone and the phony phone calls. You know, he was the first guy, and it made huge news. He called a McDonald's up in like 1972.
Ordered 1,200 hamburgers.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. said he was on the military base, and they were on their way, and he needed 1,200 hamburgers to go. and he needed, you know, X number with pickles. You know, X number without, and you know, this is before, you know, special orders don't upset us. and he aired it on the air and got into a lot of trouble for it. It is totally, you know, now it would not even hardly be funny because, you know, everything is over the top now. Back then, nobody did that. And that's one of the, you know, one of the first things that that he did. What he started with was what was his name? Billy Sol Hargis, the preacher.
That's right. Yeah. Which is kind of how he started the interview.
Yeah. God's Other Son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy pioneered so much. And you listen to especially morning radio now. He was doing, you know, he was doing top 40 radio at NBC and wicked smart. And you listen to most music radio now in the morning, and they're just, I mean, I'm surprised they can tell the difference between a fork and a knife in the kitchen. Some of the people now doing morning radio are just dumb as a box of rocks. There was a time that it took real intelligence to do morning radio, and then Glenn and Pat started doing morning radio, and that went to hell.
Yeah.
So.
Right out the window.
Anyway. So do we have him back on again, or is it too dangerous for
See if we have an FCC license first, and we'll answer that question.
We'll go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? I'm going to take a quick break and then find out if there's anything else that we have missed this week or missed today that we need to discuss, and we'll do that here in just a second.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Just trying to see what we've missed today. Thousands are watching YouTube pranksters burying themselves alive for 24 hours in stunts. And, of course, YouTube is trying to come out and say, you might not want to build yourself a coffin and dig a grave in your backyard and have your friends bury you for a day. Could be hazardous to your health. Again, I just say Darwin.
I mean, it is true, but it's, you know, there was that terrible story in Minnesota this week.
Yeah, so ugly.
Where was the one in Minnesota?
This little couple, a 19-year-old girl and her boyfriend, who's 22, did this stunt where he put an encyclopedia in front of him, and she stood a foot away and fired a 50-caliber handgun round into the book. They were hoping it would stop at the book.
There is no 50-caliber handgun.
It didn't, yes.
They it's not a handgun. I don't know. They named it. It was 50 caliber.
Desert Eagle?
Yes, yeah, Desert Eagle.
Holy.
Yeah.
What is
50
wrong with
caliber. Of course it's going to go through from a foot away, and it killed him. So,
and their 3-year-old son or daughter was watching.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
What is wrong with people?
It really is. I mean, and you know.
So tragic.
They were really seen sad. In a video they had just posted about, like, oh, can you imagine if we can get to 300,000 subscribers? It's like, is that, what goal is that? What kind of goal is that? Like, that's, you know, even if you were to achieve that, which they were not, they did not. But even if you were, like, it's such an empty goal to be searching for. This, like, fame for the sake of fame's sake.
People aren't creating anything. You know, you look at what's happening with, you know, let's even just take us and, you know, radio and take the worst of us. And, you know, our job is to inform, but a lot of times our job is, you know, leads us to a place to where we're making fun or tearing down and not showing a way to build back. And that's really what's happening in all of our society. Especially when people are trying to be famous, they're just tearing down and nobody's building anything. Nobody's even thinking about it. And it's just sad. It's really sad. I'm here in California. This is such a beautiful state. Such a remarkably beautiful state. And always to me screamed that it's a place to start over. It's a place of a brighter day. It's, you know, if you look at the women when I was growing up, Pat was growing up, that California girl meant fresh, untouched, no makeup, sun-kissed, natural. Now you look at the women here and it's just cut-up faces, plastic, you know, injected and fake everything. And it just shows where we are. We are only after not real happiness, just being noticed, just being seen, just being famous. And I don't know. Is it because people feel like nobody notices them? Nobody hears them? And it's imaged in our country that if you're rich or you're famous, you're more happy? Because you're not. You really are not. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, this weekend, take the time to really ponder true independence and what it takes to be independent and the happiness that you can pursue to be the person you were meant to be, not the person we've allowed ourselves to become.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.